Our chief foreign affairs correspondent, Margaret Warner, sat down with Ford today. On the first day, he has agreed to be interviewed on television since his departure to discuss the election and what he sees as the failures of U.S. policy.
Ambassador Ford, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be here.
So President Assad seems to be coasting to another victory in an election. What's going to be the impact of that, both on the political situation and the battlefield situation?
I don't think it'll have much impact on the battlefield. I have no indications that the opposition and the armed opposition groups are going to stop fighting. So I think the election will have no result on that. Politically, it'll cheer Assad's supporters. I've seen pictures today of celebrations in Syria. But it really is simply a signal. The election is a signal to us, to other countries in the region, to Europe, etc., that Assad is not leaving. He is staying deeply entrenched in the capital in Syria, even as other parts of the country remain outside his control.
And so is it time for us to recognize that, in fact, he's going to be there a long time, that the whole strategy, both of the opposition and the Western and Gulf and neighbor-backed efforts, hasn't worked?
Well, certainly the efforts that we have made to date have not worked. They have not put enough pressure on the regime on the ground, and that's why the peace talks that we tried to do in January and February in Geneva, and I was there, and the regime completely refused to discuss a political settlement. Pulse has not brought them to the point where they feel they have to negotiate. They're not under enough pressure. So we need to think about how to escalate pressure.
And certainly not a transition that did not include Assad as part of it.
Well, the message of the election today is that he's not going anywhere.
You left as ambassador in early 2012.
In February, right.
Under fears for your own safety and the safety of the entire embassy.
Team, yeah.
But you stayed on at the State Department. Why have you left now?
In the end, Margaret, I worked from Washington on the Syria issue for 2 years. Events on the ground were moving, and our policy was not evolving very quickly. We were constantly behind the curve, and that's why now we have extremist threats to our own country. We had a young man from Florida, apparently, who was involved in a suicide bombing, and there will be more problems like that, I fear. Our policy was not evolving, and finally, I got to the point where I could no longer defend it publicly. And it's as a professional career member of the U.S. Diplomatic Service, when I can no longer defend the policy in public, it is time for me to go.
What was the biggest mistake you think the Obama administration, this government, made?
We've consistently been behind the curve, that events on the ground are moving more rapidly than our policy has been adapting. And at the same time, Russia and Iran have been driving this by increasing and steadily increasing massively, especially the Iranians, their support to the Syrian regime. And the result of that has been more threats to us in this ungoverned space, which Assad can't retake. We need, and we have long needed, to help moderates in the Syrian opposition with both weapons and other non-lethal assistance. Had we done that a couple of years ago, had we ramped it up, frankly, the al-Qaeda groups that have been winning adherence would have been unable to compete with the moderates who, frankly, we have much in common with. But the moderates have been fighting constantly with arms tied behind their backs because they don't have the same resources that either Assad does or the al-Qaeda groups in Syria do.
But you know the arguments we all heard from many in the White House, which is if we arm the opposition, we don't know who will get a hold of these advanced
weapons. I've heard those arguments, Margaret. To be very frank, we have plenty of information on reliable groups, and we have long had that. It is a question of whether or not there's will to actually help people whose agenda is compatible with our national security interests, and then to make a decision and push forward. That really is the question before the administration.
And who lacks the will? Is it the president?
I'm simply going to say that I think it's on record now that the State Department, for a long time, has advocated doing much more to help the moderates in the Syrian opposition. These moderates, by the way, who evolved directly from the peaceful protest movement that I saw with my own eyes in 2011. And those people need more help. And arguments that we're worried about things are going to trickle into bad hands or that it's going to bring in American troops directly. Nobody's asking for American troops to be sent to Syria. I was in Iraq for 5 years. The last thing we want is to have a repeat of the Iraq experience. But there are other tools in our toolkit, and those are the things we need to work on in conjunction with our allies in the region.
Now, President Obama in his West Point speech last week said he was going to ramp up support to the opposition, but it was left totally unspecified. What did that say to you? What does that mean?
It's not clear to me yet if they are prepared to ramp it up in such a way that it will be meaningful on the ground. And that's really what matters. This is a civil war, and we can't get to a political negotiation until the balance on the ground compels, and I use that word precisely, compels Assad not to run sham elections, but rather to negotiate a political deal. But the situation on the ground is key.
Do you think it's too late at this point?
No, I absolutely don't. But I do think that the way the policy has been moving has been so slow on our parts. And that has caused frustration in the region. It's caused huge frustration among large segments of the Syrian population. And so I'm hoping that the president's speech signals that now we are getting more serious, but we'll have to see what happens on the ground.
And if this conflict continues for years, as it is now, does that increase the terrorist threat here to the United States?
I think it can't help but do that, because there's large parts of Syria that are basically ungoverned. And just as happened in Afghanistan, just as happened in Somalia, just as has happened in Mali, in Yemen, when you have large ungoverned spaces, groups especially like al-Qaeda are quite skilled at setting up operations there and then sending out people, sending out resources, sending out money, coordinating. It's very dangerous. We warned about this years ago on the Syria team at the State Department. We expected this was going to happen.
But the warnings went unheeded.
The policy has evolved very slowly. And events on the ground have not evolved as slowly. Events on the ground, it's a dynamic situation. It changes.
Ambassador Robert Ford, thank you.
No, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This afternoon, State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf was asked about Ambassador Ford's criticisms of the administration's Syria policy and why it compelled him to leave government. Here is an excerpt of her response from the daily press briefing.
Ambassador Ford served a very long, distinguished career here, is now a private citizen, obviously entitled to his own views. The president was clear in his speech last week. We've all been clear that we're frustrated by the situation in Syria. You heard the president at West Point say we're going to increase our support to the moderate opposition because we know more needs to be done. No one working on this issue can look at the situation on the ground. I mean, just look at today. The photos, disgusting photos of President Assad voting, acting like this is a real election. Nobody working on it is happy with where things are. We're all frustrated. And I think you heard some of that in Ambassador Ford's comments.
That was U.S. State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf.